Well, even though I went to Eastern, you know, I'm kind of a fan of all the state schools, and I've done a book on Eastern, I've done a book on Northern Illinois, and ISU is certainly, with their recent success especially, you know, very deserving of the book.
Most people, when they think of ISU athletics, the rich basketball history comes to mind with Doug Collins and Bob Donawald and Horton Fieldhouse and Missouri Valley Conference championship teams and NCAA teams. What got you interested in writing a book on the history of Redbird football?
Well, you're certainly right about the basketball program, and I felt like that had kind of been done through, you know, various forms of media, and I thought the football program was also deserving of some recognition. In fact, their program goes all the way back to 1887. There was a team that was formed at the time. There was a guy named Henry Williams who was the captain, and ironically, they played three games all against Illinois Wesleyan, and each team won one, lost one, and the other game was tied.
Wow, yeah, I had noted that you had gone back to the 1800s for some games, and then you basically cover a section that takes us, I guess, into the early 20th century. What about Redbird football during those really, really early days, besides, of course, that series against Wesleyan?
Well, in those early days, and this was very common in college football at the time, you would have seen them playing definitely other colleges, but you've also seen them playing local YMCA teams, a lot of towns had teams. There were actually some games against high schools. So it was kind of a mishmash of schedules. I mean, some years they would play two or three games, another year they might play six. It kind of depended on who they could, you know, schedule games with at the time. And you don't really see an official coach come along until 1895 when George B. Dygart became the ISU captain.
And, of course, there's Hancock Stadium where the Redbirds still play their football and have for about 50 years or so. Can you tell us a little bit about Howard Hancock, who was the namesake of the stadium?
Well, as you would expect at that time, you know, someone like Howard Hancock was involved in virtually all aspects of not only athletics at the university, but also the physical education department. And he's certainly deserving of having his name on the stadium for his contributions to football. I do have a chapter in the book on the old Illinois Intercollegiate Athletic Association, which would have been the major conference for much of the early part of the century, really up until the late 60s. And you would have seen most of the state schools involved in that. And from the people that I talked to who played, a lot of them played back in the 40s and 50s, they all talked about to a man how the athletic directors were often the football coaches, were often the head of the PE departments at these universities.
And then we move into the 40s and into the 50s, and there was a team in 1950 that went to the Corn Bowl. What can you tell us about what was the Corn Bowl and what was that 1950 team like?
Well, the 1950 team is the last Illinois State team to go unbeaten during the regular season. And the Corn Bowl was essentially put together through some of the local community organizations in the Bloomington Normal area. And it was played around this time, around Thanksgiving. And it was generally two Illinois teams, or it may have been an Illinois team and a team perhaps from Missouri. And I think the intention originally was just to generate some local interests and maybe bring in some tourism, some revenue to the Bloomington Normal area, but also to kind of give some of the smaller schools a chance to play in a quote-unquote bowl game at the time.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern, and today we're speaking with Dan Verdon, an Illinois author whose latest book is about the history of Illinois State University football. A former Redbird great Boomer Grigsby wrote the foreword to your book. He's included among the many individual stories that you tell in the book. Who are some of the other personalities that you take a look at in the book?
Well, to do a book of this magnitude, I interviewed close to 100 people, you know, former players, coaches, media members, administrators, but just to kind of throw some names out there, as far as local interests, there was a guy named Bill Moore who essentially went to high school in Bloomington Normal. Bill was the first All-American ISU back in the 1930s. Now, he is passed, but I was able to talk to one of his daughters and get a lot of information from her. From that same era, you would have had a gentleman named Laverne Christensen, who is from Dwight. He was the 1937 team MVP, so I got a little information on him. You had, moving into the 1960s, Dennis Nelson, maybe the most successful Redbird of them all.
Yeah, he went on to a career with the Baltimore Colts, right?
Yeah, he actually was involved in their Super Bowl team, and he is from Kewaunee. He actually still lives and farms in the Kewaunee area. Rod Butler, who's a very well-known and successful high school coach over at Peoria, Rich Richwoods was an ISU assistant in the early 70s. You mentioned Boomer Grigsby. There's Andy King from Lincoln and Colton Underwood from Washington. Cody White, who played at Normal West, and Daryl and Don, who played at Bloomington. And then the athletic director, Larry Lyons, is from Pontiac.
Back into the 70s, there was one good piece of trivia connected with ISU football that comes from the 70s, and it's probably easier to give the answer to the question, and then maybe you can fill the listeners in on the story behind that answer. The answer to the question is Wally Moore. Tell us about the story behind Wally Moore.
Well, Wally Moore was an assistant at Notre Dame, and he actually accepted the head coaching job at Illinois State. And he was all set to come here. They had the, you know, the press conference at the time all set. And then he kind of backed out. If I remember the story, his wife didn't necessarily want him to take the job. And so he was essentially the ISU coach for, you know, a few hours or a day perhaps.
Yeah, I think it was the next day when he rescinded the acceptance of that. That led into the Charlie Cowdery era, if I'm not mistaken, didn't it? Charlie Cowdery in the late 70s and into the early 80s?
It did, and one of his assistants was Randy Ball, who later became, I think, the winningest coach at Western Illinois. But I actually interviewed Randy, and Randy said after he lost his job, for a time he worked selling cars in Bloomington Normal.
And then there was another a very well-known assistant coach at Illinois State who went on to become the head coach at Ohio State, and I believe Florida, if I'm not mistaken. The great Urban Meyer, basically, I don't know if he got his start here, but learned a lot coaching along the sidelines at Hancock Stadium, didn't he?
He did. He coached in, I want to say 1987 and 88. I may be off a year or two there, but it was in the late 80s. He was one of the wide receivers coaches, and as you mentioned, he went on to, you know, pretty great success and probably will wind up in the College Football Hall of Fame someday. But if somebody goes back and pulls out some of those old ISU media guides, you'll see a pretty 80s looking mustache on Mr. Meyer.
Now moving into the 90s, Illinois State made a decision to forego hosting the Illinois High School Football State Finals in lieu of a chance to host an FCS, or what it was called back then, the NCAA 1AA postseason tournament. This was basically the Todd Berry era of Redbird football. Tell us about that move.
Well, you know, it's a decision that I'm sure was mulled over, you know, for by quite a few people for quite a lot of time. But in the late 90s, under Todd Berry, as you mentioned, ISU had some real success. They went to the playoffs for the first time in 1998. And in 1999, they got all the way to the Final Four, the semifinals. And Todd Berry was a big part of that. Dusty Burke, who is actually an assistant principal in Pontiac now, filled in as quarterback. He was a freshman in the starter. Kevin Glenn, who all these years later is still playing up in the Canadian League, got hurt. So Dusty Burke filled in for him. And as I said, they got all the way to the Final Four. A lot of people thought they might have had a shot at the national championship the next year. Coach Berry left for one of his dream jobs. He became the head coach at West Point. Something that he had always aspired to do. And when I talked to Coach Berry, he said that was one of the most difficult decisions of his life, knowing, you know, kind of what he was leaving at Illinois State.
And based on what happened in his career at Army, maybe not the wisest decision, although every decision like that, I guess, has 20/20 vision in hindsight.
And that's a pretty tough place to win at.
Illinois State's football renaissance is complete with the Brock Spack years, and now a team that came within 30 seconds of winning the national championship just a couple years back. How did this stage of the program unfold?
Well, when the opening came up, you know, Brock Spack had he's from Rockford, Illinois, to begin with, and he had been an assistant coach in the Big Ten at his alma mater, Purdue, where he had been an all-conference linebacker. But continues to be
rumored year after year as the next football coach at Purdue, but he seems pretty happy here at Illinois State.
My issue's been able to hang on to him. And he had, for years, mentioned to other coaches, for example, when he started his coaching career, he was down at Eastern Illinois under Bob Spoo, and for years he had talked to some of the other people and just said, boy, I've always felt Illinois State is kind of a sleeping giant, and that would be a good job to get someday. And he did, and as you mentioned, Redbirds have certainly been successful. When you consider that of the seven trips ISU's made to the playoffs, he's coached four of those teams, and of course you talked about, you know, the near national championship just a few seasons ago. He's gone to the playoffs now 3 years in a row, which has never been done before at Illinois State.
Yeah, and that game featured for North Dakota State, which is now the team that's going for a six-peat, I guess. That was kind of in the middle of their run, I suppose. Quarterbacked by Carson Wentz, who I just happened to watch the other night playing quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's having quite a career. So this Missouri Valley Conference is a pretty rugged conference when it comes to probably the premier conference in this FCS division, wouldn't you say?
It sure is, and it's not just you and I saying that, but you know, people nationally say the same thing year after year. It's been kind of called the Southeastern Conference of FCS football. And something I read last week said North Dakota is being considered to be added to the Missouri Valley. Well, they're a top 10 playoff team this year, so that's only going to make it stronger.
And I've heard rumors, too, that North Dakota State maybe is moving out of FCS and going into the bowl series teams. That would be a logical move, I guess, for them. But there are plenty of replacements to come in and take their place, right?
Yeah, and I've heard those rumors, too, although they would have to do some work to their facilities. So for every argument I've read that they're going to do it, I've read probably just as many saying they're going to stay. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, when you consider that championship game of 2014, ISU came closer to beating them than anyone else has or maybe will.
Yeah, that's true, at least in a situation where they're playing for all the marbles anyway. So what about the Redbirds' chances this weekend to advance as basically the last team in the postseason tournament? They're 6-5. They're playing against Central Arkansas down in Arkansas. And then if they happen to win that game, they go up against the second-seeded team in the tournament, Eastern Washington, the team that got a bye, and the Redbirds have a history against Eastern Washington. What do you think about Illinois State's chances?
Well, Central Arkansas is a very good team. I mean, they've been in the top 10 pretty much all year, and it hasn't been until these last couple of weeks that they've actually lost games. And the last game that they lost was to an unbeaten team, Sam Houston State, in their own conference. From what I understand, they have a remarkable defense, especially against the run. I think the Redbirds are going to have their hands full. But having said that, ISU, especially since Jay Colby, their quarterback, has kind of gotten over some shoulder problems that he had in the middle of the year, has been playing really well. So I think ISU is going to give them a battle. I think it'll be a good game. And should they get to the next step, well, they've certainly had experience, as you mentioned, against Eastern Washington.